Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
That's the best motivation we can give. Right, I think Gavin Cash will be in the locker room like, we don't want to hear about Grant McCaslin versus Wells. We don't want to hear it. We don't want to hear what Coach McGuire actually likes to eat on Sundays after church. We don't want to hear it. These are terrible topics. We got to win to keep them from doing it.
Cheryl Swoops writing and rewriting history. First ever national title for Texas Tech.
Jonathan Garibay, the boot is away, and it's gone!
Welcome one and welcome all to the Tortillas and Takes podcast. You are on once again with your boy, Albie Shore. And I know it's been a little bit. It's been a couple weeks, you know. It's the end of the school year. Jeremy, the educator and scholar that he is, needed a break. I needed a break. It's Memorial Day weekend as we pay tribute to our veterans out there and all that stuff. So with that, we are back. We are ready to talk Texas Tech sports. So I already kind of mentioned him, so I might as well introduce him. The people's champ that is, Jeremy Gillen. What's up, Jeremy?
I don't know why we are taking time off, Albert, when Texas Tech athletes are not. They continuing to dominate in certain ways and getting really cool accolades along the way while we're just chilling. What are we doing?
Yeah,
Lazing about.
Well, Texas Tech track and field is not chilling. Like, they are.
No, they're not chilling.
The Texas Tech men, we were talking about it in pre-pod, but the Texas Tech men's track and field team not only won the Big 12 championships, it was a rout. Last year, Tech and Texas kind of, it was neck and neck, down to the final day, down to the final competition. This year, you didn't need that stress. Tech made it such a blowout, biggest margin of victory in Texas Tech history. And actually, it was one of the largest margins of victory in Big 12 history at the track and field championships, it being in Lubbock helps. The track and field championships, I mean, Tech just was, they blew away, blew everyone else away, had 179 points on the day. That was over 50 points more than Texas, who came in second. Texas Tech, I mean, right now ranked number one in the country, favorites to win the national championship here next month. Everything about this program is incredible. And of course, Wes Kittley wins track and field coach of the year. For what I believe is his fourth time. So, your boy Wes Kittley, shout out to him.
I mean, talk about a very just non-flamboyant, like this very reserved, just come in. Coach Kittley just punches in, does his job, and punches out, and comes home with rings. Does he not? Just a consistent winner. And we talked about how the track and field team is kind of this perennial threat in the Big 12. This Texas Tech's like perennial threat in the Big 12. People just don't talk about it enough. And so, you know, like you said, there are a number of, I mean, athletes, both men and women, who just continue to show out, but especially on the men's side, man, we were talking about how, like, the men throughout this whole year I mean, 12 tickets. 12 athletes are going to be going to. Is it 12 athletes or 12 events represented in the national championship by Texas Tech Red Raiders? I mean, there's a ton of studs on this team, and you know, for them to just really. And this is a stupid to run away with the Big 12 championship. I couldn't get around it. You know, for them to come away with that, it wasn't a surprise. It was no surprise to us.
So I got to do a shout out to Courtney Lindsay. Courtney Lindsay was incredible. Won the 100, or got first in the 100, first in the 200, first in the 4x1. And I really feel bad, really, for Terrence Jones, right? Terrence Jones. Works really hard every day in practice. He's killing it. And he came in second place in the 100 and the 200. Why? Because, unfortunately, Courtney Lindsay's there. So you come second place. And mind you, he barely lost a 100-meter race to his teammate, Courtney Lindsay. Terrence Jones did. But he gets second in the 100, second in the 200 because his teammate's the one beating him out. But absolute rout. And actually, I just looked it up. They finished second, or they set the school record and the conference record for most points at the Big 12 Championships with 179 points. We're actually second in the country right now, so that'll be interesting to see what happens at the Big 12 Championships. Still the favorite. I believe we're one of the favorites, if not the favorite, to win it all at the Big 12 Championship. And that would be, I mean, Wes Kelly has an opportunity to get a second one on there. And there's a lot of on the women's side, too. Women not as great a meet. Finishing fourth, I think Texas was always going to win that with the women's side, but there was belief that the women would like hopefully come in second like they did indoor. That didn't happen. We came in fourth, but we can still right now. They're actually running in the West prelims right now. A lot of both the men and the women are well represented for Tech at the West prelims, and I think hopefully we get a lot of them getting entrance into nationals, so we can on the men's side win a national championship, but on the women's side get a lot of representation and get as many points as possible.
Texas Tech may just come. I mean, the men may come back with another national championship, two championships in our lifetime, Albert. Can you imagine it?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I do want to speak about another champion, right? So maybe not. It's not a team, but a guy. A guy, right, who is starting, like, the funny thing about this guy is we may have another Patrick Mahomes on our hand. We may have another Cheryl Swoops on our hands. We may have, well, maybe not a Jarrett Culver in the pros, but he's at least been as good as Jarrett Culver was in college. And I'm talking about your boy, Ludwig Hebert. So Ludwig, for those that don't know, who he is, which, listen, college golf isn't the most glamorous thing, so I don't hate you for it. But Ludwig Hebert is the number one ranked amateur golfer in the world as of right now. He plays for Texas Tech, been playing for Texas Tech for the last few years. And this year, he has been nominated for every golf award you could possibly be nominated for. He's been killing it. He's everything that Hebert has done has been, you know, he came into the season already pretty hyped up, and he's just accomplished it all, right? And I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm the greatest golf guy, right? I'm not a good golfer. I sit in my back and watch the Masters on Sundays, and that's about it. But when you tell me there's a Red Raider out here that's killing it like this, I'm going to pay attention. And Ludwig Hebert did a thing today, Jeremy, recording this on Monday. He did a thing today where he earned a PGA Tour card straight from college. First player ever to do so.
I mean, what you had to feel there was a possibility there. Two-time Ben Hogan Award, best like National Player of the Year for college golf. And now the first player to go directly from college to the PGA Tour membership. Incredible. You can't really – it's both hard to get people to understand how important it is, but also easy, I should say, because like these are huge awards that we're getting, but then at the same time, like you mentioned, you know, we're not all tuned in to college golf every time, especially in the spring when there's so many other sports going on. And then quietly, Ludwig Hebert is collecting accolades, and it will continue to collect accolades when he steps onto the PGA, when he steps onto the tour and representing Texas Tech as what amounts to a child at our age. And so one of those things where Another Patrick Mahomes, perhaps? Maybe another more apt title for golf, and maybe another Tiger Woods? Who knows?
Tiger Woods. Okay.
The Swedish Tiger.
You're going to go and cop you some A-Bergs when he gets his shoe deal? Got to.
Yeah, absolutely. His Nike deal. Ludwig gets a Nike deal in 5 years. Book it.
Damn, you heard it here first. Actually, you literally said this. So
I
can't even twist your words here. You legitimately said this. All right, Nike deal, not an Under Armour deal because Jeremy's not a company man apparently, but a Nike deal for Ludwig Hebert in 5 years because he's that good. But we're gonna see him more. I mean, he has his PGA Tour card membership. We're gonna see him more. We're gonna see you know what he can do now that he's. I mean, he's a pro now. You know, his college career is over, but I'm not going to sit here and act like I know the list of Texas Tech golf legends, but he's the greatest ever, right? Like, maybe I can research it and see. Maybe I'm wrong, and please feel free to tweet me and tell me that I'm an idiot because of Golf McGolferson in the 1986 was the much better golfer. Who knows? Maybe so. But I don't know any other. I mean, he's the first one to ever get a PGA Tour card straight out of college. So off top, he's already not just one of the greatest Texas Red Raider golfers ever, but one of the best collegiate golfers we have seen, at the very least in recent memory. So that's why, I mean, I think the Pat Mahomes, Jarrett Culver, Cheryl Swoops comparison comes in. But yeah, no, Hebert is doing an incredible job, about as incredible as home field apparel feels, right? So home field apparel shirts and clothes, they feel fantastic. They feel great. They look great. They are awesome. And not only do they feel and look great, they're not going to cost you as much as you think they may cost you, all right? The price ain't that bad, but we're going to get you even better for you. 15% off your first order. 15% off your first order. All you got to do is use our promo code TAKES12, that's TAKES12, to get this nice, soft, comfortable home field apparel shirt or pullover or hoodie. All of that stuff, you know, make people jealous of what you got on. Go to homefieldapparel.com, put on our promo code. So, Jeremy, the meat of this episode, the meat of what I want to talk about today is we are recording this Monday evening. We were going to record this. We were going to drop this episode today on Memorial Day, but we decided not to because we had to wait for something to happen, and that was the NCAA baseball selection show. We waited to see where the Red Raiders would fall. And before we even got there, Red Raiders had to play a Big 12 tournament. And can I just – so before we get to the NCAA tournament show, I do want to talk about the Big 12 tournament a little bit. And we'll talk about it, Jeremy. We'll talk about how the season ended and all that stuff, right? But I want to preface this before I make any other statement about the baseball team. The Big 12 tournament does not matter. It doesn't matter. Nobody cares. Tim Tadlock doesn't care. He's made it very obvious that he does not care about the Big 12 tournament. Shout out to Parker at Frog Preacher on Twitter. That's not Parker, but shout out to Frog Preacher on Twitter. He made it known, you know, he's a TCU grad, and he made it known that Texas Tech hasn't been to the Big 12 baseball title game, I think ever, which we haven't. My response to that is basically, so what? I don't care. Like, the College World Series is what matters. Super Regionals is what matters, right? Your winning Big 12 regular season tournament championships is what matters. Similar to people that watch and pay attention and care about college basketball, those conference tournaments don't matter. These conference tournaments don't matter, right? And they really don't. And every year we know they don't matter, but for 3 days we act like no, actually maybe it does matter. Maybe we're gonna be, you know, have that tight feeling in the chest. Oh yeah, we're superior. Then we lose, we feel bad, down on ourselves, and then we remember, oh yeah, this doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if we win. Doesn't matter if we lose. To be honest, I'm okay with losing, so we get our players more rest, especially our pitchers, right? It does not matter. So I just want to preface that. Before I say anything else about the rest of this baseball season, because the Big 12 tournament does not matter.
But, and I'll give you a little fact check here, Texas Tech did win the Big 12 tournament only one time, 1998, beating Tech.
Count.
Texas. Well, if it counts for Texas, it counts for count. It counts for Tech. We could pull back before 2000. But the only time to win the Big 12 tournament was in 98. It was Coach Larry Hayes at the time. They beat Texas A&M. Again, that was hosted in Oklahoma City back then. But essentially haven't won the Big 12 tournament. We haven't won the Big 12 tournament with our College World Series caliber teams is what I think the real gist of it.
I'll say this.
It goes to what you're saying.
I've been a big believer in that there's no such thing as moral victories unless you suck. And the Texas Tech baseball team hasn't been this good. I mean, I don't think we've ever sucked. We haven't been this good since. So we would happily, when I was in college, I would have happily claimed a Big 12 tournament title. Right? Now that we're good, nah, bro. I just want to see where we're going to be in the tournament. So, so with that being said, I do want to talk about how the season ended. So, the Texas Tech baseball season, you know, we at the beginning of the season, we thought we had a lot of high hopes for this team and what they could do and some of the abilities and possibilities that this team had. And to be honest with you, a lot of that went to the wayside. Towards the end of the season, we kind of started teetering. And the last time we talked about that series loss. We had a series loss at West Virginia, which West Virginia has been the best team in the Big 12, right? They won the Big 12. They deserved it. They came out of nowhere and were really good. I was hoping to end the season with a sweep against Kansas, and that didn't happen. Actually, we ended up going to extra innings against Kansas in one of the games, and then we followed that up with a run rule, right? But that season series against Kansas, you know, not sweeping them, only getting the victory, means you're going into the Big 12 championship, not necessarily limping, but not feeling great about yourself. You feel like you're probably in the NCAA tournament, but that's when you get to that weird part where you're like, do we need a win in the tournament, in the conference tournament? Do we need two wins? Like, how do we feel? And so now we get to the Big 12 tournament, which again does not matter, but nice win. I will say this. First game of the tournament, beating West Virginia, beating a team that's likely you know, was one of the best teams in the country. Winning the Big 12 championship, getting that win was big. And I think that win against West Virginia, at the very least, we were barely in the tournament to begin with. I think that win, at the very least, kind of gave us we penciled our name into the NCAA tournament with that win against West Virginia. And then, if you like good baseball, that next game against Oklahoma was just great baseball. Absolutely great baseball. Beating them 10-9 on a walk-off. Excuse me, was incredible, was fantastic. You take that L to Oklahoma State, and you get whooped. Oklahoma State smacked us. Then we follow that back with another hard-earned, hard-fought game against Oklahoma State, which Oklahoma State, they walked it off on us, right, and ended up going to the title game there. So a fun Big 12 tournament, but that's all a tournament is, in my opinion. It's just fun. It doesn't matter. It's just fun. And with that, the Texas Tech baseball team, why we ended up postponing this episode, the baseball team were waiting where they would be, waiting to see if they'd be a 2 seed maybe, probably not. But they ended up getting that 3 seed. And Jeremy, this bracket stinks for us. It stinks for us. We have Florida A&M, right, as the 4 seed. Not too shabby. The 2 seed is UConn. And then we have the number 2 overall seed in the tournament, Florida Gators, in the Gainesville Regional. What is your first thoughts seeing that there, Jeremy?
I'm going to cry. I think that, you know, there were a couple of regionals. It's like, well, if we could stay away from that, that'd be best. Florida definitely was one of my top ones. Golly, I mean, 44-14 overall. They rocking in the SEC. You know, they won the SEC East, and I think they tied their regular season conference title. Man, good team. And UConn, also kind of a surprisingly good team this season. With Florida A&M as that fourth, you know, I'm thinking, you know, it's going to be tough. I don't see us going. I don't see us even seeing Florida. Like, I
Dang.
Think that, I mean, this is just going to be a tough out. And like you were saying, there's still so many question marks in the pitching lineup for Texas Tech. And like, as we go through it here, I mean, you mentioned Molina, but I think, you know, Brandon Beckel actually played pretty okay there. I think he's been one of the few few dependable arms. Maybe not stellar, but he's got 6 saves on this season. Two of his past 3 appearances, he's given up home runs in the 9th inning of tying games. So, like, that freaking sucks. But at the same time, you know, Tadlock said that he doesn't have any concern about Beckel. That he thinks that he's been one of the steady guys. They're going to keep him. They have to keep trusting. Keep putting him in situations where he can have success. And, you know, I think to hear that at this point in the season, I hate it. Which makes me feel very unconfident about the pitching going into the this regional in Gainesville. And if there's something that has to go right for us to get anywhere deep in this, is it going to be pitching? Pitching is going to either make or break this.
Yeah, I mean, and pitching in the postseason, just like in the pros, I mean, in the college too.
Yeah,
postseason pitching.
Tell me if I'm saying something new.
I was going to say, yeah, pitching was going to get you there. Like we've said all season, this team's very top heavy, right? Not a lot of depth overall. Very top heavy team. I have the utmost confidence. You mentioned I have the utmost confidence in Mason Molina. I think game one against UConn plays in our favor, right? Mason Molina on the mound. I have the utmost confidence there that Mason Molina can get it done. The problem is, and you see this sometimes, is that I think everybody has the utmost confidence in Mason Molina. So you go out there like, oh, Mason got it. Like, Mason's got it. He's not going to give up too many runs. And your bats kind of get cold. Your bats kind of get quiet, right? I think that game one against UConn and just game ones in general are usually low scoring. Usually every team has their ace on the mound. UConn doesn't have the strongest pitching, right? But we don't know what UConn really is. I mean, the league they play in is pretty light out there in the Big East. Like, it's not a very strong conference, but they're a strong team. They have a strong program, right? I think, though, and I'll kind of mention it out here, I think Tech gets that dub. Game one, Friday, June 2nd on ESPNU. I think Tech gets that dub against UConn because I believe in Mason Molina, and we're top heavy. But I think guys like Gavin Cash are ready. They're ready to explode. Like, I think these guys, we are top heavy, but we can get some runs. I can see us with a nice 6-2 win on game one or something to that effect. And then we play the behemoth that is Florida. And unfortunately, Molina is the only starter that I have the utmost confidence in. Right, and you're going up against Florida, who has the pitching, who has the lineup, who has the bullpen, who has all of that. The team that I actually think is the best team in the country. And so I think it's going to be very difficult. And then so if you take that L against Florida in game in the next round, well, then you're likely, in my opinion, going to see UConn again. Right? But now you're probably going to see UConn without Molina. And game threes, just in general, have been shootouts, especially if UConn's also going to be going to their third pitcher. It's been shootouts. And so now we've won shootouts. I mean, remember, we had a game this year where we scored 20 runs, right? We've won shootouts, and that does play in our favor, and that's the reason why I believe we will beat UConn twice to face Florida for the regional final because of our ability to win these shootouts. But, man, beating Florida and likely having to beat them twice that's a tall task, not just for Tech, but for UConn. I will say, flip side of this is that just as much as we're scared and we're like, man, there's UConn, there's Florida, you know, Florida A&M. The other schools are feeling the same way. Like, I feel like if you're Florida, yeah, you're like, man, out of all the 3 seeds, how are we getting paired up with Texas Tech as a 3 seed, you know? UConn has to be sitting there like, we feel – because, like, Texas Tech being a 3 seed, a lot of, you know, if you're UConn or Florida, you feel like you have 2 seeds in this regional. You know, Tech has the talent, the ability, the program, the know-how to win these games, to win these type of games. And Florida staff knows it. The UConn staff knows it. The Florida A&M staff knows it. And so I think if you're Florida UConn, you're feeling like, man, we got 2 seeds in here. Well, that's unfair. This is the group of death. I think this is – I've looked throughout the tournament. This is, in my opinion, the toughest group in the NCAAs. You know, and so this will be a bloodbath to get out. I just personally believe that Florida is the best team in the country. I know Wake Forest got the number one overall seed, but I think Florida is the best team in the country, and I think and that's my prediction here. I'm gonna say it quickly: I think they're gonna win the regional. I think Tech got put in a very, very tough regional.
So who's winning the regional? Sorry, what'd you say?
I got Florida. I got Florida winning the regional.
Okay, sorry, I did not know that's where you were going. That is a correct. I think that is a correct So, yeah, you could be kind and say that Florida, obviously, the clear run runs away clearly, and then UConn and Texas Tech are kind of vying for that at least second seed feel. You know, Texas Tech is definitely one of those teams that you can't just say that just because they're a three seed, probably an easy out, right? I mean, people that know Texas, the Texas Tech brand, know, you know, Coach Tadlock and the way that he kind of builds his teams, that they can go out, you know, if you're going to have confidence, this first game against UConn is going to be highest confidence because everybody's, you know, feeling rested. But I do like, I like that thought that you had about pitching. Is this like, maybe this like back of the mind belief, maybe there's a piece of coaching that has to happen here. But okay, Molina, like Mason Molina can keep us in this game and we don't have to put as much work into it. And then that mindset end up being like this like pseudo trap, the pseudo trap game where you think that, you know, you got the upper hand here. And then because of that, you end up putting yourself in a hole. And something that we've, you know, seen this year outside of a couple of extraordinary examples is that Texas Tech doesn't really do as well, you know, having to come from a significant deficit, you know, and that ironically in that Oklahoma State game, you know, you led 5-0 pretty late in the game. And then Oklahoma State just had a explosive inning, you know, eighth inning or whatever it was. And, you know, you just couldn't, that was it. You're like, all right, well, we tried. This is just go time. And every year it is. It's just go time. You're here in the regional. You got put in a really crappy regional. Yep, sure. How are you going to address that? And so if, you know, if you've got the team this year, you can make it happen. But if you just, if it just doesn't happen, you know, it's one of a million things they just couldn't put together. And that's just the way it is, especially in baseball.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. So this will be, it'll be a fun and exciting regional. I will say if we do end up losing game one, I will be pretty nervous. I'll be even more nervous.
Yeah.
I'll be even more nervous. As you should be. We very well could. I do want to preference and say this though, Jeremy. So going to Tech in the late 2000s, early 2010s, if you would have told me that, hey, our baseball team is going to make the NCAA tournament as a three seed in the Gainesville Regional, at the time I would have said, oh, hell yeah. We're in the tournament.
Yeah.
We're, you know, let's go. Like, we're out here. Let's do it. Let's go Red Raiders, Red Raider baseball. That's what I'm talking about, right? In 2010, if you'd have told me that, I'd have been like, hell yes. The fact that it's 2023 and most fans are sitting here like, oh man, we're just a three seed. That stinks. You know, that's what 7 years straight of going to the NCAA tournament will do, right? Like that mindset of, and you see it in basketball too, right? Like this year was a big disappointment because we didn't make the NCAA tournament. When I was at Tech, NCAA tournament, please just be competitive. Yep.
Yes, yes.
Don't embarrass us.
Please bring honor to us all.
And so I will say that's good. That's a very good thing, right? We don't want to be just lovable losers. We want to be competitive, these badasses. We want to be teams that a team like UConn, which they are, fears. Like if UConn isn't coming into this regional, like kind of worried about game one, then that's a mistake on UConn. Because Texas Tech, we are a program that's shown that we can battle and handle these type of situations. Now, flip side of that, I think Tech should feel the same way about UConn. UConn ain't no slouches either. But I'm just saying, like, that's where we've put ourselves now, to where when UConn comes in, when Florida comes in, they're going to say, hey, that Texas Tech team, man, they know what they're doing. 12 years ago, they wouldn't have said that. 12 years ago, they'd have been like, oh, we're playing Texas? Oh, no, Texas Tech? Oh, we're fine. We're not playing Rice? We're fine. Right. Right? But I think now, 12 years later, it's, oh, no, we got to worry about those boys in red over there. Those boys in scarlet and black know how to play the game. And so it'll be an interesting regional. Like I said, starts off this weekend. And by interesting, I mean likely Florida dominant. I think Florida's the best team in college baseball. It's hard to predict who will win these tournaments. So, like, I could say that I think Florida's going to win the national championship, but I don't really know. Baseball's crazy. Like, here's the thing. I'm predicting Florida to win the Gainesville Regional, but, like, crazier things have happened. Remember, Tennessee were freaking world beaters last year. Easily the best team. They were talking about Tennessee as one of the best college baseball teams of all time, and they didn't even make it out of the regional. So, like, college baseball is wild and wacky, and that's the reason why I keep mentioning Florida A&M also, because I don't think teams should overlook them, you know, mess around and have FAMU go out there and and win the regional or something like that. Baseball is just a crazy sport, and so you never know what could happen. And so though I think Florida's the best team in college baseball, and though I think Florida's going to win the regional and potentially win the whole shebang, you never know. And that's I think Texas Tech should go into this regional with a why not us attitude. You know, yes, it's a rebuilding year. Yes, we're top heavy. Yes, we're fairly young in some spots, but why not us? Why not? Why can't we, get hot? I liked what I saw from Tech in the Big 12 tournament, which is kind of just the biggest purpose for that being a warm-up for the NCAAs, right? We fought hard. We were in it in both the Oklahoma game, winning it in extras, and even the Oklahoma State game, losing it in extras. We were in it, and we fought hard. And I think that fight's going to help us down in Gainesville.
Yep. I couldn't disagree more. And it's just kind of, it was playing in the back of my head, especially last year, Tennessee. But like this, with baseball, so much can happen. Like so many things can happen that you go from having a lot of security and this will end up this way to, I kind of don't know if this is how it's going to go anymore. And I don't know. Hey, let's see Florida A&M do something crazy. Let's see them, pick up a little win against Florida. Who knows? take a little bit of the strength out of their sails.
I do. I will say the NCAA committee. I just want to let y'all know Lubbock, Texas, and Gainesville, Florida. Lubbock is not close to Gainesville. Close to Gainesville. I thought we were supposed to. Yeah. I thought the tournament was supposed to try to get teams close to each other. Like, bruh, come on now. You could have put us in the Auburn regional. Like, I would have loved that. Right. That's actually Auburn's a team I think we could have beat. Right. So put us in the Auburn regional, the Alabama regional. Like that'd have been nice. Right. Come on, man.
Yeah. You could have put us in the Kentucky or Baton Rouge.
Regional. Baton Rouge regional. Like, them boys. The LSU is good, but like. We're not close to Gainesville. What you doing here, man? You just wanted to screw us. Like, that's not fair. To be fair, UConn's probably saying the same thing. UConn's 100%.
They don't want to go south.
I don't want to go to Gainesville. Come on, man. Anyways, anything else you want to say to the people, Jeremy?
No. We're kind of getting here at the end of the close of the athletic period here. And going to get into those desolate summer months where podcasters, bloggers, and everybody alike just comes up with the most random BS to just pave time, and pretty soon we'll be waking up and we'll be, College Game Day will be on Saturdays and it'll be Texas Tech football time. So just, best of luck to this Red Raider baseball team. Best of luck to all of our athletes who are finishing up both in track and in the baseball as they just finish, have a great finish here, right? Just go out and have fun and try to do something crazy, because we have to live off that. For we either do something crazy or we do something super sad, and we have to sit with that for two months.
Coach Tadlock, friend of the pod, listen, I know you listen. I know you listen every week to what Jeremy and I have to say. Really what Jeremy's trying to say here is that we need to win so we don't just talk nonsense on the pod every week. Listen, listeners don't want to hear us ramble about, a topic like, is Grant McCaslin Matt Wells 2.0? Or, like, that's just nonsense. You don't want us to do that. us to have that topic. Like, that's nonsense. Nobody wants to hear that. But if we lose early, we don't have a choice. Okay, Coach Tadlock? We don't have a choice. Okay? So we don't want to just have this as a topic. So we need to win. So there we go. There's some motivation. That's the best motivation we can give, right? I think Gavin Cash will be in the locker room like, we don't want to hear about Grant McCaslin versus Wells. We don't want to hear it. We don't want to hear what Coach McGuire actually likes to eat on Sundays after church. We don't want to hear it.
We're tired of it.
These are terrible topics. It's a terrible topics. We got to win to keep them from doing it. So anyways, I'm delirious. It's late in the evening. So for Jeremy Gillen, that is the People's Champ, I am Albie Shore, and you've been listening to Tortillas and Takes, part of the 1012 Network. As always, stay wrecked, people.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.